Gracious Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for the mercy you have shown us this day that we're all able to be here. We have our faces uncovered, Lord. We can see each other. We can see smiles. We can see families. Lord, we can sing praises to you. Gracious God, how good you've been to us. Please bless us, Lord. Allow us to hear the things you want us to hear and to forget quickly the things that are unimportant, Lord. Please help us to learn how we might love you this day by interacting with our sisters. The stories that we tell, the encouragement we give each other, Lord, bless us and allow us to be a blessing to others, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wanted to share a subject with you that is very dear to my heart. Comfort. You might think it's something really holy or something like that, but no, it's comfort. I like comfort. And are you all comfortable, by the way? We want you all to be comfortable. Lovely setting. Everybody looks like they have a nice place sitting in front of them. I know that I like to be comfortable. In my home, I have a comfy bed, an adjustable comfy bed. I have a comfy reclining chair. Actually, it's a love seat. My husband and I have them right together. And I can adjust my seat at any angle I want. And I can use my clicker to click on the TV if I don't tell Alexa. And I like my iced tea comfortably chilled, my hot tea nice and pleasantly warm, my soup just tasting yummy, and I even have a personal servant named Alexa who sees to my comfort. If I had long Goldilocks, you might call me Goldilocks because I want everything to be just right. That wasn't 2020. Now, we were talking earlier, there are some great things that happened in 2020, and we don't want to forget that. But I'm not sure everyone was comfortable. The Encarta Dictionary talks about comfort as a noun, saying it's a state of being, a condition in which somebody feels physically relaxed. I didn't always feel physically relaxed this last year. Or it could be a comfortable thing, such as Linus, you know, Charlie Brown's little friend, his blanket. That's a comfortable thing. Something that makes you feel physically relaxed. Or it can be relief from pain or anxiety. I know this last year God brought a blessing into my life, just the right doctor to help me. And after 6 years of incredible head pain, God has pretty much relieved me of that. So there was comfort in 2020. But I'd like to talk about this age-old question, one that the whole world has been talking about in 2020. Where can I find comfort? How may I acquire or apply comfort in my life? Ever since Adam and Eve first wanted the comfort of making their own independent choices, mankind has plunged headlong into the greedy and lustful pursuit of comfort. I first started studying the subject of comfort over 20 years ago. I think it was about 25 years ago when I was doing a tea. It wasn't Christmas time, but a tea for another church. And I was talking about the fact that we are comforters. About 20 years ago or so, I commented the people of that decade had surely perfected the art of comfort seeking. I believe back then that we had not witnessed such a greedy lusting and love after comfort since the days of Rome. I even observed, and I read my notes, this is true, I said back over 20 years ago that the world's effort to seek comfort had almost reached a level of global epidemic. It was an interesting choice of words. If nothing else, this past year, with all the enforced isolation, and it's so nice to see you without masks, I don't care if you breathe on me, and the times that we spent that we can't go about our jobs, people have lost their businesses, people have lost their opportunity. I haven't been able to see my daughter in Canada for over a year. They can't leave. And there hasn't been such a time as this that showed what's going on in our hearts. I don't think mankind has changed much since Adam and Eve. We still want our comfort. And when our comforts are denied to us, we get confused. We get fearful. And as you've seen on your television set, we even get downright angry. The bad news, which we've heard daily on our television, our phones, and our social connection, isn't actually the problem, though. Our real problem is that we have come to depend upon our comfort, and we haven't learned how to identify what really brings comfort in our life. But, you know, I wonder if it's really all that bad. I like comfort. I really do like comfort. Is it terrible? Would our loving God want us to be stoic-minded? I'm a Christian. Nothing bothers me. My husband, at the time that this was first starting, did something for me. He bought me, purple of course, T-shirt. I don't know if you can see it, but it says, I'm a mom, grandma, and a great grandma. Nothing scares me. False advertisement, ladies. The reason I haven't worn it much. There is something that really scares me. When my comfort zone is threatened, I get a little bit scared. I'm not sure what to do next. So where are we then to find real comfort? Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And today's news was pretty bad. And I can tell you personally, in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and your body is racked with pain and your mind is filled to overflowing with confusion and so much trouble that you feel like your brain is just going to explode. Ever feel that way? Or you think maybe you're going to go tilt, overload? It's hard to find comfort at that moment. So where do we find comfort? After we say goodnight, Alexa, and all the computers, phones, and TV sets are finally silent, when it's quiet, when you can actually hear your own thoughts, and you don't particularly like them, where are you going to find comfort? I'm glad you asked. Because there is only one source of true lasting comfort, and you all knew this was coming. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That tells us that comfort comes from God. Praise be to the Lord. I didn't bring my Bible up. I should have. I'll get it for you later. Okay. It talks about him being the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. So when we come to this Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, what do we need to do first? Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This isn't a game we play with God. We come on his territory, on his ground, and we have to come with his rules. We must believe that he exists in the way he says he exists in your scripture. The God of your imagination is not going to work for you. And we have to believe that he's going to reward us. If your reward is monetary or physical comfort or just having people like you and be nice to you, you're going to be pretty disappointed. But if it's something like Romans 8:28-29, you will get your desire. You will be able to be conformed to the image of the Son as you are submitting to the Lord in the middle of the trial. We must come believing that God is good, the way he says he is, what he does is good, and that the reward is God. God has revealed to us the fact that it's in his very nature, it's in his attributes to comfort us. He comforts us as his created being. Psalm 145, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is good to all. He He has compassion on all he has made. So we see there's a general level of comfort that God has compassion for. If God's grace, and I know there's nothing common about God's grace, but if it wasn't extended over this world would be an utter ruin, gone like that. So God has shown compassion on this wicked, sinful world simply because he created us. And even before the foundation of time, besides the fact that we are his created being, God has planned to uniquely provide comfort for a people. In Psalm 73:1, we see, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And in Isaiah 66:13, we understand that as a mother comforts her child, and we have mothers comforting their children, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God has cared for a people. And then we see also that God has planned to comfort specific individuals. You're not just one of a group. God has planned to comfort individuals. Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper or a comforter suitable for him. You see, the unique role we have as women in the marriage relationship, God has created us in part to be that comforter, that encourager, that one that our husband can go to in the middle of trials. And we are to serve as unto the Lord in the way we interact with our husbands. In 2 Samuel 12:24, we see an example that David also served as a comforter because he comforted his wife Bathsheba. Now, this is after they had lost their child. And he went to her and comforted her with love. In Genesis 24:67, the family relationship here comes into play again. Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married her. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The relationship here of husband and wife is to be a source of comfort. The relationship provides comfort, and it models in a way that God comforts us. There is another comforting relationship, mother and child. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And then another verse I like is, as a weaned child upon his mother's breast. You know, God has comforted, that mother has comforted that child. And now that child is at rest. He's not nursing anymore. He's not rooting around. He is comforted to be there. There's a group that needs specific comfort. And that is the group that God has uniquely provided comfort for in repentant people. When brokenhearted people weep over their sins and sorrow, it is God himself who will comfort them. Psalm 10:17, you hear, O Lord, the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. Psalm 34:18-19 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And one of my favorites, 147:3, I have this up on my wall. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. I had that up in my counseling office for over 20 years. And the brokenhearted here are not brokenhearted and crushed by the world and how difficult it's been. They are brokenhearted, not just because of their circumstances, but they're seeing that they are not right with God. In there is repentance and turning back to God and leaning upon God to comfort them. And that's when God steps in and brings a special blessing. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, we see the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Here are some of the ways that God comforts. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives. You know, freedom is a big word in counseling, by the way. I have dealt with many women and young women with what we call addictions, with false gods in their life. those things that they must have, and if they don't have, or if they don't do this action, they don't feel real. They don't feel normal. They don't feel safe. So they go about their addictions to find comfort. And when I talk to them about the fact, the scripture says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Freedom, the ears picked up. What does that mean? If I am loving God in the way that I am interacting with him in response to the strong desire I have in my life, if I turn my heart over to the Lord, and if I actively pursue his answers and apply them in my life, God's bringing me freedom. He didn't promise ease. He promised freedom. And that's another form of real comfort. We also see that God has bestowed upon us beauty for ashes. Some of us have gone through great sorrow, and God will bring comfort and great joy out of those ashes. If you don't journal, I would suggest that you give it a try. Give just a little note to yourself now and then, and be sure that you put the date on it, because 20, 30 years ago, it's pretty interesting afterwards. It's interesting looking back and see who you were and what you're praying about. Sometimes those things that you've been praying about and dealing with, they come to fruition 10, 20, 30 years ago. And if you ask God for a present, you should say thank you at that time. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They mourn over the grief and sorrow, but yet also they mourn over their own sin. So we've seen, hopefully, that our God is a God of comfort. He wants to comfort his children. He wants to provide a sense of being right, being right. I was talking with a lady earlier, and one of the things I bring up to women in the midst of their sorrow, they can be going through horrible sorrow, and I will ask them, are you enjoying God today? How are you enjoying God today? Tell me something. They look at me as if I'm nuts. But in the middle of our troubles, there is only one truth. God doesn't change just because your troubles are here. And we should be able to enjoy, take comfort, take solace in that relationship we have with God in the middle of the trouble. So, how are you enjoying God today? That's a question I ask myself every day. In Isaiah 40, verse 1, King Hezekiah was given a command. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. That was a command to the king. But in Hebrews 10, 23 through 24, the author quotes the Holy Spirit as he instructs all forgiven sinners. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Are you the comforter to another believer? Are you the one that they need to hear from? I remember many years ago, I was going through a year that I thought would never end. It was sorrow, it was grief, it was loss, it was death. One thing hit me right after another. And I went to church, and I was like walking around like a zombie. And I would look at people's faces, and I was looking at their faces, and there was one thing I wanted from them. My heart was crying out within me, tell me something good about God. That's all I wanted. And I got back to chit-chat, visiting, nice little pleasantries. I wanted real comfort. I wanted someone to come along and remind me, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. That's what everybody needs. Now, yes, you may take them a meal when they need it, or something else. Maybe you get Christmas gifts for their kids because they're out of work right then. But don't forget to tell them something good about God. That's the real comfort everybody needs. You know the God of all comfort. I believe you are qualified to be able to comfort those in any trouble. And here's our verses. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, and I'm using NIV. The other translations are very close. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. See, you don't have to know the same brand of trouble they're going through. In any troubles, with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. It isn't necessary for you to know exactly what they've gone through, and we don't have to tell them all of your own personal story. You don't have to air all of your dirty linen, how you had to repent of this and that, or how you had to struggle with your husband and this and that. What you need to know is the character qualities of God. And when I have counseled women, I ask them to do a couple things right away. I ask them to start taking notes when the pastor's preaching. All the pastor's wives say, yay. or teaching. Because this is one of the main means that God's going to use to bring comfort into their life. And I ask them to take down the prayer requests at church. Why? People in trouble are selfish people. They're focusing on themselves and their sorrow. And what they need to do is get out of themselves, love God, and let God love others through them. They say, I've got nothing on my life. It's a mess. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Not only can you, you have to, because you're commanded to pray for others. If you don't do it, you're sinning. So write down a prayer request and pray them during the week. And the last thing I ask them to do is one of the most important things. I ask them to become an observer of God, to watch what God is doing. The struggles they're going through, the things that they're learning, I want them to start taking notes and paying attention to what God is teaching them about who He is. The reason for this is exactly what it says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. He comforts us for a purpose, that He gets the praise, He gets the glory, and that we can comfort others with comfort we ourselves have received in Christ. Your story is valuable. Use it, share it. But what's really valuable is who God is. What are you finding out about who God is? And women will shake their heads, you know, oh, no, I've got nothing to offer. I said, wait a minute, you pay attention. I want to know what you're learning about God. I guarantee you it's going to work. So 2 or 3 weeks later, they come in, and they're a little less rattled at that point. And they'll come in, and they're so excited. They said, I didn't believe you. But there was a lady at church a couple rows back, and I overheard her, and she was going through something like I went through. And I remember what you said. I didn't have to tell her all that I'd gone through, but I could say, look, this is what I found out about God. This is the verse that helped me. This is how God encouraged me. Can I pray for you? Can I encourage you in some way? This is a truth about who God is that is my comfort. And they get so excited because they were of some use. And that's what this verse tells us to do. Be ready to comfort others in season and out of season, with the understanding of who God is and what He can do in their life. You have a valuable tool, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, we all could quote it, that all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I believe that you and I are capable of changing this world one person at a time. The people that God sovereignly brings into your life are the people you're supposed to be interacting with. They're the people you have an appointment with to be some source of encouragement. You don't have to give them the whole gospel. Give them a little bit of truth about God now and then whenever you see them. Work it into your conversation. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be open and available to talk, just as if it was normal for you to be a Christian and talk about God. It is normal. I've had a practice every year for a good many years of picking something I'm going to focus on in a new year. And it's usually a biblical principle based on a scripture. And then I divide my goals into the monthly goals for the coming year. Well, the last 3 to 5 years, I've been stuck on one section of scripture. I can't get past it. This is something that God is reminding me of. And I'd like to leave you by encouraging you with this. In Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4, it's in the middle of, we're talking about the highway to heaven, that God's people, only the righteous will be on that road, and no fool go about on it. Even if you're a fool, you won't behave like a fool there, and there'll be no lion to devour you. And there are some in the middle that are struggling, evidently, because God commands us to strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Yes, that was meant for a certain specific point of history, but it's also meant for us. It's meant for us because we're all on our way going home to be with the Lord. And we all struggle. We all have difficulties. People in the church and those outside who need encouragement in Christ. And what do they need to hear from you in these troubling days? They need you to be willing to come along and strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way, and say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Encourage them. God has not abandoned them. He will give them the strength they need to get through this and keep going. As you are a comforter, and I see all the families around, I'm sure you're all comforters. I would like to encourage you with something as a little Christmas gift. Over on the table here with the light is, I have a little sheet of handout. It's no big deal, but it's a few verses in suggestions in how you can comfort others. And maybe some reminders for you because you might be going through a few struggles too. If anybody wants to contact me, I'm sure your pastor's wife will have my information. I've given you my email. I would like a source of encouragement to you. Please let me know how I could pray for you or if there's something I could do to be a source of encouragement. I know you have that ministry here, but I'd also like to help if I could. Thank you.